I don't think Helga knows what the situation is, so if
Right.
you can explain what the situation is, that would be good.
Yeah, so the situation is that in the I've had a few situations in the past that where I haven't responded the way that I wanted to respond. And what I do in the present is that I replay those situations over and over and over and try to fix them. But all it does is it puts me in the same state as back then, either angry or sad. And it really affects my here and now and the and you know what I'm able to achieve. And so we spoke this morning about yeah, the fact that I keep replaying that and that affects my sense of identity and that I want something else. So
Okay, so I guess to start out with, if you could remember the last time that this happened, and what was the trigger that you think started it?
oh, it was a picture. I was on Facebook and I saw this picture of like 4 years ago, and seeing that picture triggered like a replay, if you will. And in yeah, so that's the that was the trigger, seeing a picture on Facebook.
So, what was in the picture that specifically triggered the replay?
Ouch.
What?
Sorry.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just a memory of the way the situation was back then.
So, was it a picture of something
Of t
of
it,
you back?
no, it
Oh,
wasn't
sorry.
of me. It was of two other people that
Okay.
were involved.
In the same situation?
Yeah.
Was it a real picture of something that happened to you who you knew, or was it something that I'm just trying to understand whether
It
it
was
was
a real
something that.
picture. Yeah, no, it
Okay.
was a real picture. Like it was yeah, just like a, you know how you get those mem like like Throwback Thursdays or something like that. It was
Okay.
a picture like that, so of two real people in my life.
So you saw a picture of two real people in your life, and then something in that picture triggered a memory of something in the past.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what was this memory? Did you see something, feel something, hear something? What was the memory?
That's a good question. So I see this picture. It's almost like the feeling comes first of stress and anxiety, like high alert, as if it's happening right now, and I have to protect myself. And then it really feels like I'm right back in that situation again. And so it's not like pictures anymore. It feels like these people are around me, life size. And and that's when I start having conversation in my head.
With yourself or with the people?
With myself, like it's about like how, like why didn't I respond differently? How should I respond differently?
Okay.
Why did they do that? Like yeah, it's a lot of quest like a lot of questions come up.
Okay. Let me ask one more question, then I'll bring it to someone else to jump in. What does it mean to protect yourself? You said protect yourself. What does that mean, protecting yourself?
Well, in that situation, I chose to stay in that situation, even though it wasn't, even though I knew, and that's the thing that I have a problem with, I chose to stay in that situation, even though I knew I should have walked away, and I didn't, and I couldn't walk away.
So what was it about it that you couldn't walk away?
I think the simplest answer is I didn't want to.
Okay.
You
did not want to walk away.
Yeah, but I should have. It would have been better for me, healthier for me, and I would have been prouder of myself. But I didn't, and I can't I can't go back and walk away. So that's the like, why didn't I walk away? Why didn't I take care of myself? That's like the trigger, and then like this anxious feeling as if I'm right there again, and then it goes to a high level higher of why didn't I walk away? Why did I let this happen? And then you can go up the layers.
You said that you didn't want to walk away.
No, there was a part of me that didn't want to walk away.
Part of you wanted to walk, didn't want to walk away, and part of you wanted to stay there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Can anyone else jump in? I can go on, but I think it's good.
I'll jump in. So, Femke, what did you learn to believe about yourself? Because you didn't walk away and you didn't respond differently.
And I think it really comes down to like feeling like a loser. I'm a loser. Like almost feeling disgusted with myself, like I'm weak. I think it's feeling really ashamed, incredibly ashamed.
Okay, and so when you say incredibly ashamed, how has that impacted your life, your relationships, you?
Gosh. It has affected the way that I look at myself as who I am professionally.
How is it serving you now?
I don't think it's serving me in any way, like other than it really, because I really feel that the shame kind of permeated in all of my identities, in all of the roles that I have. Mm-hmm. And like Holly asked, how has it impacted you? It has impacted me in the sense that I'm less spontaneous.
Can Helge have a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
I learn a lot. I wonder when Holly started, maybe she started with a meta question.
Uh-huh.
What you believe about you feel stressed and anxious, what you believe about yourself when you feel this. So if what I think is she start meta questions to go up, and my question is when is it enough clarity check over words? Femke started with angry and sad, and so it was about what triggers. Yes, it is a picture, and feel stress and conversation in the head. So when you say a picture and a feeling and a conversation in the head, then I think it is enough clarity check of the word angry or sad. Is that right?
Well, you like, you know, what you can ask is like, okay, so feeling anxious, where do you feel that in your body? What happens? Like, so the questions are part, like the questions that I ask myself are triggered by the anxious feeling.
Can I step out of this for 1 minute?
Yeah.
You had talked about anxious and I think sad at one point, but it seemed like shame was where we left off, which was a significant place to talk about.
Right,
shame
absolutely.
Shame is about yourself, and you had concerns about your self-identity. So questions about what does it mean to feel shame to you?
Right. Like, and I think that's, you know, and that's the beauty, Helga, of going up the layers is that, so you've got a little bit, what Pascal did is he grounded it. So there's a trigger, and that trigger triggers the anxiety, but the anxiety is not so much the problem, the shame, at those higher levels. And those, so that's why your meta questions are important, because I get to that shame, which makes the anxiety 10 times worse. And so that's a bigger issue. And so then you want to explore that.
I agree very much that the shame, and to go up and find what you believe about shame and what happens when you are ashamed. And so you come to a point, do you want to be ashamed or do you want something else? Then you are up and you are you aware of, and do you want something else? I want to go there, but my question is, when do we have enough information, clarity check a word? I think it was angry or sad that it started with.
Yeah, then those are states. Those are not. So clarity checks is getting the VAK, which is what Pascal did.
Yeah.
So that's part
so
of.
To get the picture and get the feeling and conversation in your head.
Yeah. And then it's about, like, what I want you to be able to do is to replicate. Oh, hey, if I have this picture of these two people, then what do I need to do to create anxiety? So this picture, I go back to my past and step into that as if it's happening right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so then having that information, and then on top of that, I start asking myself questions, which compounds the anxiety. And then on top of that, I feel really ashamed. And that's something that is still, I'm guessing for all of you, the shame part is still not clear. So you need to ask clarity checks there.
That's right.
Because that's how you get to that leverage point. And then whatever is down lower, it really is less significant.
Okay, yeah. But the first words, angry and sad, did we get a clarity check of words of that angry,
but those,
sad?
The thing is that those words are not semantically loaded. that's not what it is about. That's not where the energy is.
They're like pseudo emotions. I think Michael talked about emotions and pseudo emotions. They're like pseudo emotions in which there's something behind them.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some stronger emotion or something behind them that I might say I feel nervous about something, but what is it really behind my nervousness? That's the true feeling. Maybe being hurt or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so then if you've got like the clarity, you don't have to get clarity on everything. It is, okay, so what triggers this? Then where does your mind go? Oh, you get to shame. Okay, so I don't, if you cannot in your own mind replicate what shame would be for me or how I do shame, then that's where you need to go. But you listen for, this is the most important thing. That's where the energy is. And you can check that. You can ask, you can ask a question. So it sounds like shame is where the energy is. That's where there's a lot of where the emotion is stronger. Am I correct? Checking question. Yes. Yeah. Then you know that's where I need to get clarity.
And it also sounds like you mentioned it affects you professionally.
Yeah.
And so, what exactly do you mean by shame, and how does it affect you professionally?
Okay. So, shame for me is, it's something around I am not, so like in this situation, because I did not have the strength to walk away, I obviously was weak, and that means that I'm not as, I'm not even sure I have the word for it, but it's something to do with, oh, how do I explain that? Like, it's something to do with not being worth as much as I thought I was. And people like, what that does, how it affects me professionally, but also in other situations, is that I withdraw. It means that I don't, that I don't really step out and stand up for what I believe in.
So maybe, what do you specifically mean with you withdraw? How do you do withdraw?
Okay. I think if it's like with people that I don't know, I don't easily make small talk. I'm quiet. I stick to myself. So unless someone starts talking to me, that's one example of withdrawing. I'm just more quiet, less spontaneous. So like I'm good at making jokes normally, or good at connecting with people just by asking questions. And I don't really ask a lot of questions, or I don't really say a lot about myself.
So you talked about feeling shame, and that made you feel, you felt like you were weak and you withdraw, but you also said that you, if I'm correct, that you weren't standing up for what you believe.
Right.
Yeah. What's important about that?
Yeah, it's almost like in like because of all of the shame, it's like I think there's like a fear of being seen. And so like
is there something you're not giving yourself permission to do? Is it about permission?
Well, yeah, I think it really definitely is about lack of permission because of the shame. It's like, and it has such an effect on how I see myself. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have respect for myself. I think that's like, I've lost that sense of respect for myself and belief in, respect and believe in myself, and that has really dropped. And so
so is that something to work on today, that when you have these experiences and you go back and come back to the times in which you remember,
right,
the situations, that you would like to have the respect for yourself and the belief in yourself?
Yeah, and also because I realized, and that was like something that came out of all the questions, is that it's not even just in that moment, but it has permeated in everything that I do. It's like almost like a conclusion that I drew about who I am, that makes it hard for me to go out and you know, like right now I'm in, obviously, in a new country, everything is new. I don't really go out, make a lot of friends, or I don't look for opportunities for that. I more solitary, which I don't think that's like the real me. I'm quite open, and I love people, and so it really is like has had a lot of effect. And so yes, I do the playbacks, and those aren't, you know, that's not very helpful, but it's the conclusions that I drew from that situation about who I am that really is the issue.
You said earlier, I am not worth as much as I was.
Yeah.
What were you like before this happened? What did you believe about your worth before this event happened?
Like, I was proud of myself. I knew, like, I was, yeah, doing the things that I believed in and that were healthy for me, but also for others. Yeah, so, but it apparently, like, it was very conditional.
How was it conditional?
Well, like, it's basically, looking back, just because I was unable to do or behave in a certain way that I had expected, because I have, like, these expectations of myself, and I was unable to meet those expectations, so that must mean that I'm... that I don't deserve as much respect, or that I'm not as good as I thought I was.
So let me step back again. At this point, we elicited, I think, your strategy for where you are now.
Right. Yep.
And we weren't doing a coaching session.
Exactly.
So if we were doing a coaching session, it would seem like we'd ask about, is this really, you know, are you tired of being in this position
right
now?
Yeah.
And
identifying what is it that, like, out of all of this, because now you can say, yeah, now you can make an acknowledgement. So this is what happens. This is what you do.
Mm-hmm. This is how you feel, and this is how it affects your life professionally and outside your profession.
Exactly. These are the conclusions that you drew from this one situation about who you are.
Which reoccurs.
Exactly. And then, you know, and then you can do pattern detection. So what does it sound like? Like, what are the issues here? So confusing what you do with who you are. So you're, that's a summary statement. So it sounds like this is about your sense of identity and your self-worth being conditional. You know, is that, so then you can start to kind of identify what do we need to work on here? So it would be shame. I think shame and identity, probably those two things. Helga, were you going to say something?
Yeah. I think Pascal asked meta question something. Or first, I asked, what will I see, or how do you do shame? And that was what you see, hear, feel, say to yourself when you do the shame. I tried to clearly check the word shame through what you see, hear, feel. Okay, and so you answered something, and then Pascal started, I think it was a meta question, what you believe about, or what is your identity, or something, and he lifted it up. So my question is, when is it enough clarity check of words so it is grounded, so we can start to go meta questions?
Yeah, well, I think they go hand in hand, Helga.
Interesting, yeah. Please tell.
Yeah, oh. So if we look at the strategy process, it's like, and I had a conversation with Michael about this earlier. If you have the strategy process, you have a trigger, and you have the state that it results in, and you have the what your client is saying to themselves, and the pictures that they conjure up, and then the beliefs that hold that in place, and you understand how they create shame or something like that. That's like beyond getting clarity. You know, that's a strategy process.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have clarity about how something works for someone. And so, like, if it comes to shame, it you know, like, we already have it grounded in a situation.
Yeah.
And then
do
the
we
beliefs
have it grounded
shame.
Enough? Do we have it shame grounded enough? You had the.
I think there is, because it's about our identity. And that's really important, and it was about her identity all the way through. It was talking about her identity and how it affects her identity, how identity affects things in her life. So it's whatever happened, there seemed to be no separation of herself from her behavior. And
right.
So at one point I'm thinking, okay, I think we understand at least how this is affecting her and how it's affecting the rest of her life. And I don't think she doesn't seem like she wants to be there anymore. We have to ask her.
Right.
But And then it's time, I think, to move along to the other part of the axis. Unless we want it to feel worse, even worse, which you could. But
well, and that's the thing. Like, this is where you get to shame as a construct in the mind.
Right.
So we started off with the picture. And you know, all of this is still part of the same thing, is how do you do shame? So first you see this picture. And then you go back to that situation And then you ask yourself, why didn't I go away? Mm-hmm. Why didn't I do this? I'm such, you know, like I'm such a loser. Like I'm, you know, I'm really weak. I didn't live up to my expectations. And so then I don't deserve any respect. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, and I'm not good enough and blah, blah. Well, then you can check, is that how you do shame? Yes. Mm-hmm. So you already have a lot of the information, Helga. You just get to like a higher level, like, you know, this meta level of shame. Like, and shame really, so this is how I do shame. And what do you, like, and then it's about, so what's your relationship? Do you have permission to feel shame? Are you kidding me? No way. So that's when you start to, you have all the clarity, and then you start to do like the analysis of, okay, what are all the aspects here that need to change? It's permission to have that emotion of shame, changing my sense of identity so that it's solid. You know, those are just a few things.
So is it right, Femke, you say that to get the clarity check of shame is, as Pascal, when did it happen? What did you see, hear, feel? Mm-hmm. What do you say to yourself? And so what you believe when you start, meta question also is, in a way, a part of clarity check, the word shame. Is that right?
Yeah, that's part of it. And what you're actually doing is getting the strategy process, which is, you know, beyond getting clarity.
Yeah. But when do we have enough clarity so we can
if you can step into the situation and see what I see, feel what I feel, and it makes sense to you why I am feeling shame. And that means that sometimes you're going to be putting on a belief. And sometimes I ask myself, what do I need to believe in order to feel this?
Yeah.
Because if I hear my client talk and say, okay, so I see a picture, then I replay this movie, okay, so I try and do that. Can I feel shame? No. Okay, then I need to ask more questions. Yeah. And that's the beauty of going second position, is to see if you have enough information. Is like, you need to know, what are they seeing, hearing, feeling, and what are they saying to themselves that puts them into a specific state.
Yeah. So in a way, do I hear and understand it right that to get in the strategy process, to get the clarity check of word, we may also sometimes need to have what you believe about and have meta questions to explore more about the word shame?
Well,
so we go meta to find the clarity check of word.
But it sounds more like a strategy session, a strategy process, which moves beyond clarity. So you have clarity on shame, but it moves beyond it.
Yeah. So my question to understand the step clarity check of word shame, when you ground it, that you see, hear, feel, and say to yourself, so I can make the picture and the movie inside myself, that maybe that is enough clarity.
Yeah.
And when we have clarity, then we go up and ask the meta questions.
Well, not exactly.
Not either or.
No, like, because shame is such a higher level state that your meta questions are critical.
Yeah.
So how do you shame yourself?
Huh?
You know, you need to know those higher level frames that you hold in place.
So shame, what you see, hear, feel, say to yourself, when you get the answer to that, there is a chance we have grounded clarity check of word,
yeah.
Shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then once you have that, then you can start to analyze the situation.
Yeah. And then the energy will come when you have the shame as a trigger and you ask meta questions and what are you aware of, what do you want instead, what is your desired?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Then it is like, have you had enough of this, or do you want to keep shaming yourself a little bit longer over something that happened 4 years ago, you know?
So that is what I like in the coaching process, to get the energy and the client become aware of and want something otherwise.
Right. And I think
that
this
is what
is
I like. But very often when...
This is really critical, Helga. If you would have got stuck with sad and angry and ask clarity questions there, then you're not going to get that energy.
Interesting.
Because that's not where the energy is. When it started to become about shame and identity and seeing how that affects, like, how I carry that with me every single day, that's where the energy is, and that's where the pain is.
Yeah.
But like the sadness and anger are not. So you have to be really careful about wanting to get clarity on everything. It's getting clarity. So if you have your client has an outcome, get clarity on that. You ask meta questions to go higher up so that you can figure out what's behind this. Ask clarity questions about that. And that really means that you need to calibrate in your client, like listening and also, seeing, is there a shift in energy?
Yeah.
And that's listening for what is semantically loaded. Ask clarity around that.
Very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And that, and that takes time to figure that out. It's in practice. So, yeah, you're asking some really important questions, Helga.
Yeah.
So any other insights? What would you do next, Pascal? Are you there?
Now?
Oh.
Hold on. Do you hear me now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I had to. Sometimes I'm not sure what happens with this thing. I have to put it out and put it back in again.
Oh.
I would. It sounds like I'd ask about whether this is what you wanted to work on, how you something dealing with the shame that comes up in these situations, so it's a different experience,
right?
And how it affects your identity at the moment. And then we can clarify exactly what that means.
Yeah.
So, and then I ask if this is what we'd want to work on for the rest of the session or the next time. And then I. Okay, what I would do is this. It's almost as I would ask. This is This is maybe a little different. I would ask about whether you felt there were two parts of you that were in conflict over this situation about shame. Because I heard you mention that, and this is what I'm wondering, is you said in some situation you wanted to do it, you wanted to be there, and you didn't want to be, and you didn't want to be there, and there was a conflict. And I was wondering if there are two parts of you that were there, and I would pursue that if that was something you were interested in pursuing.
Right. No, that's also at a lower level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then having that, then we'd walk through the well-formed outcome specifically.
Yeah.
What would it be that you'd want to do differently? So
right.
I guess asking about an intervention and moving on to the next step. So I think that's what we do. We'd try to understand what the strategy for the future state would be.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
How when you saw this picture again, what would you like to do differently?
Right.
Precisely. And then going through the well-formed outcome process and then going back and testing to see, you know, maybe I'd ask you to pull up the picture on Facebook and see how you responded to it.
Right, exactly.
If you wanted to, of course, I understand that the last time you did, it took a lot of time during the day to get over it.
Well, and that would be, I think, a great test for the desired state. There would be like probably another, like a few other tests, because it affects several areas. But then, so this is really where you can start taking it down the funnel, because I am informed enough to be able to say, and you need to probably help your client a little bit with, before you do that, with analyzing. So it sounds like you're confusing what you do with who you are. It sounds like you have a problematic relationship with shame, and that you haven't accepted what happened back then and the way that you responded. And there might be something like that that you guys see that I don't see, but mm-hmm. So then you've got three things. And then you can start to figure out, okay, are these the three things that we need to focus on, that we need to work with? Because it might be three different sessions.
And it might be that because of who you are, you could do this on your own.
Well,
I'm just asking, right? I'm just asking. Once you start knowing something more than you did before, it might be possible to do this on your own.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure about that, but I was wondering if that's possible.
Yeah, that could be, but then that would be a good check as well. Mm-hmm.
But you did laugh when I said that, so.
Yeah, well, it was just funny because it had to do with identity because of who you are.
I know.
That's already like a frame by implication, very sneaky.
Right.
So yeah, but you know, and this is, and that's the beauty of getting that strategy process and then feeding it back to your client, help, like, and then analyzing it. Once you've got that, that you can easily take it down the funnel, set up a program, like, okay, now we've got four things to work on, so we've got the next four sessions, we know what to do.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it didn't really take that long to get that information.
I was going to say that it was the way I was working, just asking questions, was only because of what I've heard you do in the past over this last, you know, 9 months or so.
Right. Yeah.
Focusing on the strategy and getting back. Okay. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then because I right now feel like, yeah, this is, you know, now we've got the mother load of, I don't know how to say it, but like the real leverage point. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, and I think that's what, you know, we all want for our clients. It feels like this sense of like hope or relief,
right,
of, oh, now, yeah, this is, now I can step beyond it rather than muddle inside of it, which is what often happens.
Yeah.
So, So, Holly, do you have any, like, what did you learn? Are you there, Holly? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? I was curious about the state of shame. Even though we had the trigger for that state and some of the metastating that you do, I was curious if part of the strategy was to find out more about that shame. How does it show up in your body? Would that have been appropriate?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's as much a physical. It probably is, because but the withdrawing part of it is a big thing, you know. And then Helga asked, "How do you withdraw?"
Okay, I remember that. Yeah,
and that really helped.
Okay.
Identify. Okay. Like, because I feel myself physically. So if you ask about it physically, I feel myself holding in my breath and leaning back. And so that's valuable information, because I can check that at the end. Am I still holding my breath? Am I still feeling like I lean back? So, definitely, that would be valuable.
Okay. And then at the time you asked Pascal what he would do then, and I think you went to analyzing the information. I was curious, would that also have been a point where a person could have fed back much of this information and then asked or done a confrontation at that point by asking, how is this working for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be probably the first thing that you want to do.
Okay.
Pascal already also mentioned that, but this is where acknowledgement comes in. And this, and like one belief that I have, you can make an acknowledgement and you could then go to then knowing all of this, what do we need to work on? But I want to step back from that acknowledgement and do an analysis first. Well, first the away from, how is this working for you? Doing a confrontation. Yeah. And then, so if this is what you don't want and this is what you do want, then, you know, then doing that analysis of, okay, you know, what gets in the way? It's the acceptance, the lack of, like the problematic relationship with shame, you know, and then you start to kind of like make an overview so that your client has it's going to be so much easier for your client to make that strategy. Is that what we need to work on? Is that what we need to work on? Is that what we need to work on? Yes, 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 or no.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely.
Nice. Okay, thank you.
Yep. The better informed your client is about what they're doing and what the issue is and the dynamics, the better they're going to set their outcome with you. So, yeah. Nice. Helga, was this useful for you?
Yeah, very. And Pascal is also so short and clear. So it makes it easy for me to understand. Thank you, Pascal.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, so I see that, Holly, you asked, how does the strategy process work in terms of getting a 2.5 benchmark form? Okay. Let me, because I asked Michael this.
Yeah, and for me it's confusing because Michael says one thing, especially in Norway, he was saying one thing. He was like, well, they've already asked 4 questions about the strategy process. That counts
as a
clarity check, I guess. So I think it's confusing.
Okay, let me just check what he responded to me, because I wrote him and I said, hey, you know, if you have the strategy process, you've got clarity. So, let me see, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I suppose a person could get see, hear, feel information without asking for clarity checks, but they would have to be asking for the sensory-based details of the code that the person is using. I think the larger question is, if you step back from the coaching session, does the coach seem to know how and have the ability to get clarity from the client, or is he oblivious to such, which is not very specific. So,
well, isn't clarity strategy process right above the clarity checks and the
right.
listening?
Yeah, and it really, if you, I would say, if you ask, like two strategy processes in the out, you know, in the whole conversation, then you've got a whole lot of clarity. Like that would count for me as four clarity checks, but you have to have the full strategy process.
And also understanding what some of the words mean too. In the
right,
process.
For sure, absolutely.
The important words, semantically
yes.
loaded words.
So one thing, identity here, like what do you mean with identity? Mm-hmm. You know, that would still be something to explore. Yeah.
As part of the well-formed outcome statement to go through that.
Exactly, yeah.
What in particular yeah. about your identity is important and what is it that you want to change?
Right, yeah.
About your beliefs, about your identity or something.
Yeah.
Some form of that question. So.
Exactly.
This is very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
The whole process of coaching is interesting. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, and like so my aim is to make it like more and more structured and so that you have the flexibility to kind of follow your client where they're going, but you have a framework or a structure within which you can operate. And if you have the strategy process down and you can build the gap, take it down the funnel, and at the same time do the towards and away from and have your client make a decision, I think those are the most important aspects to have, like even more than understanding how self-actualization works. And obviously we learn, you know, 7+1 models. I don't think in order to be a great coach, you have to know all of the models. I think if you have the well-formed outcome, which is just a pattern, but the well-formed outcome and the axis of change, and you understand meta questions and questions for specificity, and you do all of that within the framework of the score model, so the present state and desired state, then you can be a really, really great coach, or then you will be a great coach.
And to focus on those aspects which get you there quickly. I think that's
exactly
something
exactly.
else that you have, the criteria that you have.
Yeah, yeah. So, any well, other questions?
I thought Helga was going to say something.
Yeah.
I liked what Femke said, the short version of what is the most important things you do in a coaching session. I like this approach.
Yeah.
The present desired state, the gap, the value, and motivation away from towards. And so go down the funnel, something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, focus on that and it's going to be a world of difference for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have recorded the session, so I will be posting it online for you to listen to.
Okay.
And we'll be back 2 weeks from now.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great Goodbye. Rest of the week.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.